That's everyone in now, Chair.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I would like to welcome everyone to the Inner West Local Planning Panel meeting of the 9th of April 2024. My name is Adam Seaton. I'll be chairing today's meeting. This is a formal meeting held on behalf of the Council. And firstly, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation on whose country we're meeting today. We acknowledge and respect elders past, present, and emerging. It's customary for the panel members to introduce ourselves, and we'll proceed to do that now. As I said, my name is Adam Seaton. I'm chairing the panel. I'm a lawyer who specialises in planning and development law. Can I ask Annalise to introduce herself, please?
Yes, my name's Annelise Toor, and I'm a have degrees in architecture, planning, and I was previously a commissioner of the Land Environment Court, and I am now on a number of panels at both state and local level.
Thank you, Annalise. Brian, could you please introduce yourself?
Thank you, Brian Kirk. I'm a planning consultant. I have qualifications in town planning and property economics, and I've been appointed to this panel as an expert member.
Thank you, Brian. Andrea, could you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm the community representative on the panel, and I have a background in educational leadership, but specifically in planning and building in schools.
Thank you, Andrea. The first matter on the agenda today is declarations of interest. I understand that there are no declarations to be made. Could I just get a confirmation from that from each panel member?
No declaration.
Thank you.
No conflict.
No
I can
conflict.
propose also that each panel member has inspected the subject sites. They've read the agenda and the associated assessment reports and the submissions that have been made and have had a briefing session provided by council officers. There are a couple of housekeeping matters I need to make you aware of before we commence. If you can all keep your microphones on mute unless you've been asked to come forward and present your submission. And once your presentation is finished, if you could please set your microphone to mute again. We have a number of people who have registered to address the panel. In fact, 15 people have registered today. And I'd like you to be respectful of everyone so we can listen to their submissions and hear what they've got to say. And we ask that you limit your presentations to no more than 3 minutes. You may be asked to wind up if you are going to take longer than that time. At the conclusion of the hearing from all of the speakers today and running through the items on the agenda, we'll go into a closed session. That is, the panel will, and we will consider what has been presented to us today, in addition to all other information that has been submitted in respect of the development applications, and we will make our determination in respect of each of the items. The panel's decisions on the agenda items will be published on the council's website by the end of the week. Just for your own purposes, you need to note that this meeting is being recorded, and an audio recording of the meeting will be published on the council's website. I'm now going to move on to the first item on the agenda. That is item one. It's a standing item, being a report of pending matters that will be coming to the panel in due course. That report has been provided, and I ask that it be noted. If I can move then to item two on the agenda, that is a development application 2023-0777. For the land at 38 Station Street, Newtown, alterations to the rear facade of a dwelling, refurbishment of the existing courtyard, addition of a pool, external access stair and car lift with basement parking and a turntable. In respect of that matter, I have one person registered to speak, Leanne Mitchell. If I could ask that Ms. Mitchell turn on her microphone and commence her presentation.
Thanks, Adam. Apologies, I don't actually have a camera, but hopefully you can all hear me.
Thank you.
First of all, thanks to Caitlin, the planner at Inner West Council. It's been a long process for such a small project. They are recommending this project for approval, which is great. I just wanted to take this opportunity to ask the panel to consider the small area of the project that is being excluded from the approval. So we've got a small section of wall, it's a side boundary wall, it's at the rear of the property. And in our opinion, it isn't adding bulk or scale, it doesn't have overshadowing issues. It's in part of the building that doesn't contain all of the heritage details. The main part of the house is, of course, the old Masonic Hall, which is very rich in detail, has lots of little Masonic symbols everywhere, and we can see why that's valuable and that's being preserved. The rear of the site used to have a roof over it. It's now become a courtyard with the roof removed. There's an air conditioning proposed, a unit proposed in the service area, which is the northern corner of the site. We would like to extend the side wall to screen that air conditioning unit and provide privacy, acoustic and visual from the neighbours and from the street and from the neighbours across the road. It's a large unit because the Masonic Hall, the rooms are voluminous, so the air conditioning we're putting in does require some power to it. The council have said that if we don't build the wall, as per their recommendation, that the unit needs to go on the first floor on the back wall of the existing dwelling, which is the Masonic Hall where we have all the heritage detailing. We would not like to put it up there, one, because we'd have to connect it to existing heritage fabric. Also, from the courtyard, the occupants are going to see and hear that big air conditioning unit. Where it's proposed, it's over a garbage storeroom, very much out of the way. The brick wall to the side would match all the existing brick walls. And there's a screen proposed to Bailey Street, which is the rear lane, which would be either a louver or some kind of fenestration, which has been proposed and discussed with Heritage previously. So it's a shame that part of the project, being so small, is not being considered. In terms of just the bulk and scale, the dwelling is enormous. It dwarfs the houses either side of it. It's much, much larger than the small portion of wall that we're proposing, just to extend with following the existing rake of the wall. So we just wanted to take this opportunity to ask the panel to consider whether that could be part of the approval. The one issue that I thought might hold it up was that there's a small encroachment of the old wall onto the neighbouring property. The adjacent neighbours have been spoken to. They have no problems with the proposal. They didn't object to the DA, and they are happy to put their consent in writing to allow that to happen if that's what needs to happen, which perhaps could be conditioned.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Thank you, Ms. Mitchell. Have you finished your submission?
Yeah, that's perfect timing. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Well done. Does any panel member have any question of Ms. Mitchell?
Not from me, thank you.
Thanks, Brian. If you can ask your question.
Not from you.
Thank you. Annalise, you have a question.
Yes, in terms of the location of the air conditioning unit, and you're concerned that you didn't want it to be placed on the wall of the original building, what about the option of just placing it on the inside of the existing wall? I just wonder why you need to go right out to the street with new structure.
We'd be happy to leave it where it's proposed if the extension to the wall wasn't approved. We'd be happy to leave it where it's currently proposed, the air conditioning unit.
But what about on the inside of the wall rather than on the outside? So on the wall, that the same wall, but on the other side of it.
Because then it's facing directly into the private open space, which is very small, of the courtyard. And it's the courtyard used to be an internal service area, goods delivery, that kind of thing. It's all hard surfaces. so the acoustics would not be great.
So the pushing it the wall out all the way to the street, do you need that space, or is it something that you could screen, have the it on the wall that's located now, and then just screen it closer to the actual unit, if you understand what I mean?
Yes, we could do that.
And yeah, just out of interest, how high is the wall proposed along the street?
The street, it's a large brick wall. It's about 3 meters.
Okay, thank you.
Any other panel member have questions?
No.
I had a couple of questions, Ms. Mitchell. One relates to the car parking that's proposed. Suggested in the 4.6 request that there's one car parking space exceedance in relation to the council's requirement of there being or there needing to be only one space. So you've got two spaces in the basement level plus the car lift space. Is there a total of three spaces that are proposed?
Cars can park on the top of the car lift, that is correct. I had a call earlier today from Caitlin, our planner, who asked me to update the clause 4.6 to include the second basement car space in the GFA, and that's been done and issued to her.
Right. So what do you say is the exceedance, including that second space?
The percentage?
In total area and percentage would be helpful.
Hold on, let me just pull up my. Apologies, this was open. Okay, the increase to the floor area within the basement will be 45.97 square meters. The variation of the FSR is 220%.
Yeah, but that's the increase of 45.97. You. The other question I had in relation to the wall that is subject of a recommendation for deletion, it encroaches on the, or it would encroach on the boundary of the adjoining property, or would be on the boundary, and that the owners of the property next door are prepared to consent, but there is no owner's consent provided for the construction of the wall on the boundary at the moment.
Not as yet. It was in the planning report that we realised there was actually an encroachment. It's not picked up on our survey.
You would understand that we would have a problem in approving that wall without owner's consent. Can't
Of
be.
course. Yep.
Thank you. If there's no other questions, I'm going to move on to the next matter, and thank you, Ms. Mitchell, for your participation.
Thanks very much.
The second matter on, sorry, the item three on the agenda is the application. Is the development application 2023-0989 for 50 Glassop Street, Balmain, installation of solar tiles on front roof plane with the remainder of roof to have existing tiles removed and replaced with standard tiles. I have one person registered to speak in relation to this matter, Mr. Richard Paolini. Mr. Paolini, could you please come online and provide us with your presentation?
Yes.
Thank you.
So thank you for the opportunity to present to the panel. So I am the owner and applicant, and I'm speaking in favour of the application. A brief comment on the process is that I have struggled to get good information from the council as to the rationale for their decision. The most detail I've received to date was that in the development assessment report for this meeting, which was obviously only available a week ago, and which I only received because I refused to follow council's written and verbal recommendations to withdraw my application. So I'm a little disappointed in the process from that perspective. Why I believe the application should be approved. there is contention between myself and the council as to what was the original roofing material of the building, which is pertinent to the force of the heritage considerations. I am of the opinion that the roof was originally slate. I have a photograph from 1919 from across the road in the park, which shows a flat reflective surface. Council has indicated they believe it was terracotta, and they have cited the State Heritage Register, and they've cited the local council archives, photo archives. However, the State Heritage Register does not indicate that the original roofing material was terracotta. It only mentions that the current roofing material is terracotta. And the council have failed to provide the photographic evidence from their archives. So I contend that the current terracotta roof is not original. And as such, it's not contravening the original nature of the roof. The local council regulations seek to maintain a degree of consistency across the streetscape, which I understand, and they've already allowed significant divergence of roof material across the row of terraces, as can be seen in image number two. The colour of existing tiles varies from pink to darkish brown, and there's various levels of light reflectiveness. So there's already significant discrepancy between the roof materials. The three potential differences between the proposed solar roof tiles, which the council call unsympathetic materials, and existing terracotta tiles are the colour, although the solar tiles can be colour matched to any colour that is chosen, and that does not appear to be the main issue from council. Light reflectiveness is a consideration. The solar tiles have a glass surface and they have the solar energy technology underneath, but the purpose of the solar tile is to absorb light, not to reflect light. And I've provided evidence that light reflectivity is actually less than that of terracotta tiles. There'll be less light scatter because it's a smooth and not a rough surface. And the property of glass is to totally internally reflect light, which will not go anywhere near the public areas, even in the height of summer.
Mr. Colony, I think that's your 3 minutes. Can you wind up for me now, please?
I'll just sum up if I may.
Thank you.
So in summary, my contention is that the council assessment makes unsupported and or misleading statements about the original roofing material of the terrace houses and an intention to change the roof slope, which is not my intention. It reflects a pre-existing mindset to only allow like-for-like replacement, has not truly considered the application on its merits, has overstated the differences between current and proposed roofing materials, has understated the very limited observability of the roof, and has therefore overstated the visual impact of the differences and the effect on the character and consistency of the streetscape.
Thank you, Mr. Pellini. Does any panel member have any questions of Mr. Pellini? No? Right. I will thank you then for your submission, Mr. Pellini. We will consider it, and as I indicated earlier, we'll be making decisions in a closed session that will be available on the council's website by the end of the week. I'll move on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is item four, which is DA 2023-0764 for the land at 268 Trafalgar Street, Annandale. It's a development application for ground and first floor alterations and additions to a dwelling. In respect of that matter, one person registered to speak, Christian Brennan, who is the architect. Mr. Brennan, could you come online, please, and provide us with your submission?
I am, thank you. Can you hear me?
I can, thank you.
It's fantastic. I submitted a brief letter, which I think pretty much outlines our concern. So it's, I guess, first, thanks for letting us talk. Thanks for council for supporting the D application, with the exception, I guess, of the proposed condition two, which is a change to the cladding and how the windows are expressed within that cladding. Look, it's all possible. The condition's possible. We're just somewhat concerned that the addition will then look a little utilitarian rather than something which we believe could be quite special. I think the details of that are outlined in the letter. If you could consider that in your judgment, that would be fantastic. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Grennan. Does anybody have any questions of Mr. Grennan? Annalise, if you could.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you just expand on why you think it will be better than the more traditional solution?
Could I just interrupt for a moment? There's somebody in the background who's speaking. I'm not sure, Mr. Grennan, is that somebody in your office or?
Could be.
Right. Thank you. I'm sorry, Annalise, could you ask the question again?
Just if you could outline a bit more about why you think the solution that you've put forward is a better solution than a more traditional one that essentially has weatherboards and, you know, sort of more traditional vertical windows.
Just asking people to be quiet here, sorry. In terms of the... the weatherboard, I think so traditionally if you tack something onto the back of a house, you might do that in weatherboard, which in this case it's obviously going to be a clear addition. We think that sort of interpreting that weatherboard and having the vertical will provide a little more crafted sort of solution to the addition, plus it provides more privacy and control to the bedrooms. So we just think it's going to be kind of playing second order to the main building. And whereas if we are allowed to craft this a little bit more, provide a little texture, provide a little more love, in our opinion, to the addition, it's just going to be visually a little bit more exciting. So in our opinion, it might be a piece of architecture rather than a sort of attack onto a heritage building, which we believe deserves a little bit more love than that. Now,
yeah,
maybe slightly biased being the architect. I'll leave that up to you.
Thank you,
Mr. Grennan. Any other questions? No? Good. Well, thank you, Mr. Grennan, for attending. And as I indicated as earlier, our decision will be available by the end of the week.
Thank you.
Could I move to the next matter on the agenda, which is item 5. DA 2023-1079 for the land at 17 Jane Street, Balmain, a development application for alterations and additions to a dwelling, including demolition of existing rear addition, construction of a new rear addition, and construction of an in-ground swimming pool with landscaping. On that matter, I have Mr. McGilvray, and who is the applicant, and also the architect, Mabel Chow. Mr. McGilvray, would you like to come online and tell us, provide us with your presentation?
Thank you. My camera's not working. If I could leave Mabel to give the overview of the application, please.
Thank you.
Sure. Hello. I'm speaking on behalf of Steve, who's the applicant for 17 Jane Street. The DA has been recommended for approval, which... we'd like to thank the planner, Tom, for her assistance, his assistance, sorry. The application is for a minor rear addition to the existing dwelling. It's a existing three-story terrace with a attic level as well. The reason that the application is in front of the panel is because of the exceedance to the proposed FSR. The bulk of the exceedance is due to the existing building being already over the FSR. The application only requests an additional 9 square meters, which is proposed to make the living ground floor space more have more amenity on that ground level. Much of the first the attic space, even though it has to be counted towards FSR, does not have a ceiling height at 2.4 metres, which is the minimum considered to be habitable in the BCA. Similar to the existing basement level, a lot of the ceiling is below 2.4 and is not habitable, but has only been included in the FSR as a technicality.
Thank you, Ms. Chow. Are there any questions? Annalise?
Just if you can just explain how the roof of the rear addition is working. In the section, it looks like you're having a box cutter, and I just wanted to understand the logic of why you're doing the roof the way you're doing it.
To the re-addition?
Yeah, and its compatibility with the one next door as well.
Yes, so it is proposed to be a box gutter. We believe that the proposed building is on the corner of Jane and Bradford Street, so it's highly visible. We wanted the rear addition to be read as a modern addition within a heritage context. So it does use traditional building materials, masonry, but the form is slightly more playful, and it's not meant to be read as a typical lean-to rear addition.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any questions? No. All right, thank you, Ms. Chow. We're going to move to the next matter, and again, you'll know our decision by the end of the week.
Thanks.
The next matter on the agenda is item 6, DA 2023-0819, for the land at 110 Ferris Street, Annandale. It's a development application for the ground, for alterations and additions to the ground first and second floor of the existing semi-detached dwelling. We have no one registered to speak in respect of that particular matter today. And that being the case, I'll move on to the next matter on the agenda, which is item 7, DA 2023-0555, for the land at 102 Norton Street, Leichhardt. Alterations and additions to an existing commercial premises and provision of a three-storey mixed-use development comprising a ground floor cafe, co-living dwellings and basement parking. I have one person registered to speak in relation to that matter, Mariana Hanna. Ms. Hanna, would you like to come online and tell us or provide us with your submission?
Yes, thank you for your time. So we object to the grounds for this development, and our submissions were submitted back in August last year to the Inner West Council. It went into depth of why we object, but I know I only have got 3 minutes to discuss this, so I'll just briefly go over it. So we object to the development purely based on the height, scale and the bulk of the proposed development. Considering that it is a large building that overshadows our property at 96 Norton Street. The other point of the objection was the significant levels of overshadowing the property, the potential of overlooking and loss of privacy, considering our property is run by a psychological clinic that treats major trauma patients. And the other ground of objection was the noise and construction impact and the deep excavation, which will affect the movement of the property. So they were the grounds of our objection, but obviously we've submitted a in-depth document in August last year.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you.
No?
Excuse me, Chair. Hi, it's just Claire. We've just had a very late request to speak by the applicant of item 7, Joseph Panetta.
All right, I'm prepared to allow Mr. Panetta to speak for 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Can everybody hear me okay?
Thank you, Mr. Panetta. If you could just introduce yourself and then make your submission, please.
Yep, thank you. My name is Joseph Panetta. We're the applicant for the project at 102 Norton Street. I really just wanted to speak very quickly on some of the main issues for the reasons for refusal for this application. We have been working hard with council to try and provide evidence of an amalgamation with the neighbouring site, as well as the ongoing issue of the tree removal between the two sites. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get anything formally in writing from the owners at number 96. We have read through the council report, and we believe that a lot of the issues that have been raised can be addressed with minor amendments. So we would ask, actually, if possible, for a deferral on this application so that we could provide council with that information. Some of the issues that have been brought up, we believe, are either already resolved or can be easily resolved. Most of those issues would include the site amalgamation issue, the tree removal, the solar access, the common space calculations, the street activation from the proposed cafe, and also an acoustic report and stormwater plans have been provided, which council have written in their report that they were not received. Unfortunately, I believe that the application may need some additional time to finalise and formalise these issues, and we would ask that the panel provide that time for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Panetta. Any questions of Mr. Panetta? No?
Sorry. It's Marianne Hannah again. In terms of the deferral, we just want to confirm that 96
Hannah, can I just interrupt you? I don't need to hear from you again. I understand what's been
said.
We will deal with it.
Thank you.
That's all the speakers then on item 7. I'll move then to the next item on the agenda, which is item 8. Describe it's DA 2023-0694 for the land at 12 Crescent Street, Roselle. It's a proposal for demolition of the existing dwelling and associated outbuildings, Torrens Tuttle subdivision to two lots and construction of two-story semi-detached dwellings and associated landscaping and site works. I have six people registered to speak in relation to this item. I'm going to start with the objectors first, and then after that, the representatives of the applicant. So can I start, please, with Melissa Naber? Melissa, if you could come online and give us your presentation.
Thank you for this opportunity to present today. I've been engaged on behalf of the owners at number 14 to 16 Crescent Street. They're specifically the owners of the townhouses 1, 2, 3 and 4 who reside there with their families and their pets. What's really unique about these two-level townhouses is that they face directly onto the subject site. So their outlook from their private open space on the ground floor and their living areas on the top floor with balconies look onto the subject site. So there's no setback from the common boundary to their courtyards. They abut directly onto it, and they are north facing, which means that all of their sunlight to their private open space and their primary living areas is received across the subject site. So those constraints are really important to understand when we then start to look at the impacts. Now, the solar diagrams show that this development is going to have a detrimental impact on the solar access and amenity enjoyed by these townhouses. And at the very worst point, the shadow cast over the first floor level of the units from 12 p.m. will mean that they're entirely covered and not allowing any sunlight to penetrate in at all. Now, we've reviewed the council report and the solar access discussion in that report. And unfortunately, what we've found is that the conclusion has been reached on misleading representation in the solar diagrams. This is a critical error of the solar diagrams, and it's what it's showing in the diagrams is that the existing privacy screens on the first floor of these four townhouses currently cast shadows into those rooms. That's not the case. The owners chose these screens specifically when they installed them to allow sunlight to come through. It's very bright in those living areas at the townhouses so far. I've been in there and seen it myself. But unfortunately, this proposal will actually stop any sunlight penetrating into these living areas in the afternoon. So it's not a minor or a moderate impact to the livelihoods of these four families that are living there, but a severe and devastating one. So there actually is a non-compliance with the DCP, where a minimum of 3 hours of unobstructed sunlight will not be achieved to the living areas, the primary living areas of these four homes. We do know that the proposed development had some minor revisions, such as a reduction of during the assessment process, such as a reduction of 2 square meters of floor area and a reduction of 150 millimetres to the roof ridge. But as you can imagine, that's had a negligible effect on the impact of the solar access on these neighbouring townhouses. So the development continues to have significant non-compliances, including an undersized lot, which demonstrates that this is an overdevelopment of the site, given the extreme impacts of overshadowing on these four homes that are facing the subject site. We also note that the outdoor courtyards, while they seem to be presented as an industrial unit, they may have been approved by that many, many, many years ago. They've never been used as courtyards for industrial purposes. These are fully full residential homes, and the development is about to wipe out sunlight into their only private open space for each of these for these four townhouses. So in summary,
that's 3 minutes.
So if you could wind up the 3 minute warning, so if you could wind
up. In summary, just to very quickly summarize, we don't believe that this site is suitable for the proposed development. The council report says that alternative designs would be to allow it to comply with solar access would be unreasonable and severely limit the development potential of the subject site. Well, we would argue that indeed it is an overdevelopment and that it should be reduced to ensure that the livelihoods of the residents in these four homes is not so severely impacted. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you, Ms. Nova. Are there any questions of Ms. Nova? No, thank you. I'm sorry, there is a question, Annalise.
So just in terms of the development on this side, what non-compliances are there that result in this overshadowing, essentially, or why is the overshadowing beyond what's anticipated of development on the site?
The building itself, the proposed building, does not allow the sufficient sunlight to access into these four homes, so it's non-compliant with the controls. The fact is it's an undersized lot for a dual occupancy. So in our opinion, given the severe impact of solar access on these four homes, we think that's an overdevelopment of the site. I don't think that this site is suitable for a dual occupancy with this level of impact, and it is an undersized lot. It doesn't meet the minimum lot size for dual occupancy.
Okay, but a single dwelling house on the site, two-storey single dwelling house, wouldn't it have the same impact?
It could be reduced because you're not trying to squeeze in two dwellings. So one family could fit in there and that, you know, there would be an adequate impact on these four townhouses adjoining or facing onto the subject site.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa.
One question, please, Anna.
Another question? Yeah, thank you.
So, Melissa, with the report, the assessment report, don't take this as a criticism, but you were going quite rapidly. do you agree that the approved use of the ground floor of these townhouses, except for number two, was not for habitable purposes, for living purposes?
Yeah, that's right. The original approval, and in fact, Graham, one of the owners, is on the line at the moment. He might be able to talk more to this because I don't know the history of it, but the original approval was for industrial uses. It's never been used for that. It's just almost like a technical hangover. And in fact, these are residences and outdoor residential spaces.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Could I move on to the next speaker, please? Lachlan Rogers. You could come online.
Yes.
Thank you,
yes.
Mr. You could,
thank you, panel. So I'm addressing the panel on behalf of the owner of 5 Moore Lane, Roselle, which is located directly to the east of the subject site, so to the rear of the property. So we've lodged 2 objections to this, one as part of the first notification, which raised concerns in relation to unreasonable non-compliance with the minimum lot size control, wall height, solar access, visual privacy, and inconsistencies with the zone objectives. Following the re-notification of that additional information, we lodged a further written objection outlining that our previous issues were not adequately addressed, and I understand that the panel have copies of these submissions. Following review of Council's assessment report, we still don't believe that our concerns have been adequately considered, and we still have major concerns with the proposal. Now, primarily our concerns relate to the non-compliance with the minimum lot size, the resulting built form character and amenity impacts resulting from the built form on those lots that vary the minimum lot size. So we note that it's considered to be unreasonable and there's insufficient environmental planning grounds to actually support that variation to the minimum lot size. The subdivision pattern proposed on the site is inconsistent with the streetscape and built form character of the area. The surrounding area is characterised by attached dwellings of a single-storey nature on the western side of Crescent Street and lower-scale detached dwellings on the eastern side. The proposed variation will permit a semi-detached built form that is excessive in visual bulk, scale, and is out of character with that existing context. Now, I would note that the subject site is actually highly constrained based on it having existing boundaries with a number of properties. With those townhouses, it actually takes the boundaries to six adjoining residential properties, resulting in condensed development with the area, which has noise, amenity, and impacts resulting from that dense built form, which results in onerous privacy measures having to be implemented on adjoining properties. The subdivision and the variation to this minimum lot size further exacerbates those impacts through creation of additional lots and a resulting more dense built form on those reduced lots. Also noting that the proposal actually exceeds the established residential building height in the area by a metre, and the amended plan submitted as part of the additional information only reduced this by 150 mil. This is not considered to be sufficient as suggested in Council's assessment report. The development in its current form cannot be considered compatible with the character of the surrounding area. Specifically, the development exceeds the maximum wall height prescribed in the Roselle Distinctive Neighbourhoods within the DCP. Coupled with non-compliant setbacks, the development will present an excessive visual bulk and scale to the adjoining properties. In addition, the overall building height could actually be reduced, noting that the floor to ceiling heights are considered excessive with consideration of surrounding development and is inconsistent with the established height and floor levels. Further to that, we also have some privacy concerns. Now, largely they were addressed in the additional information submitted. However, we still have concerns with the first floor southern elevation windows associated with the staircase areas. So these areas are trafficable and permit direct sight lines towards our client's bathroom.
Excuse me, that's 3 minutes.
Yeah, if you could wind up.
Yep, that's fine. So those areas actually have direct sight lines into our client's property and their bathroom area. It is noted that these windows do not appear to intend to allow views. So we would be of a mind that these should be obscured through opaque glazing to minimise those visual impacts. So in summary, we have issues with the minimum lot size variation and the resulting built form and scale on the site, which results in amenity and character impacts on the surrounding area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Any questions of Mr. Rogers? Annalise, please.
Mr. Rogers, you said that the floor to ceiling heights were excessive. So I'm just looking at the section and it has it as 2.7 in the ground floor and 2.4 in the upper floor, which, you know, then there's a...
Yes. With consideration to the surrounding area and existing development. So as I detailed, that the surrounding character is largely single story, and where there are first floor levels, they are sort of built as attic levels and extensions on the rear roof form. Whereas this development, with consideration, those are considered to be excessive in comparison to them with a height that is over 1 meter compared to what actually exists within the area.
And when you say it's a height is over 1 meter of what exists, what's the actual control?
So, well, that's twofold. So there's the existing character established by where there are two-story dwellings, of which we exceed that by a meter, and then the development actually results in a variation to the maximum wall height that is applied to this area. Now, that maximum wall height control is 3.6 meters, which would allow a single-story nature development with some first-floor attic levels. Whereas the wall height proposed under this exceeds 5 meters. So that results in that meter over existing development within the area.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. If I could move then on to the next speaker, Mr. Squires. Mr. Squires, if you could come online, please, and make your submission.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on today. Yes, as residing here and as Melissa had mentioned, we get a lot of light in our upper floor and lower floors, and it's been such a joy living here until seeing this proposed development, the impacts that it'll actually have on us, our day-to-day lives. So We bought in here because of the nature of the street, the outlooks, the views, and for lack of a better word, we'll just be looking in into a basically a wall. There'll be no sunlight, natural sunlight downstairs, which where we spend a lot of time having coffees, reading newspapers, entertaining. We feel that it's definitely an overdevelopment for the actual site, and particularly the minimum lot size as well. As Melissa pointed out, there was a fair few controls that were not abided by. So I guess from the human factor, we're very, very concerned, particularly 3 and lot 4 being most affected. So that's what we'd like to say about that. Downstairs is definitely residential. We had a DA for my downstairs living submitted and approved. I think it was back in 2009 or 2010. So there's without a shadow of a doubt that this whole development is residential. And I was also looking up at the Inner West environmental planning, and it also does state that we are in fact R1, which is general residential, all the way back from Parsons Street. So there was definitely a misrepresentation with the initial DA saying that we're all light industrial downstairs. So we've got a full house here, and it would be very detrimental to our family and particularly our neighbours and friends on the surround. So thanks very much for allowing me to talk.
Thank you, Mr. Squires. Any questions, Mr. Squires? No? Thank you. The next 3 speakers are on behalf of the applicant, Mr. Panetta, Mr. Corey, Mr. Phillips. Mr. Panetta, would you like to go first, please? Panetta, are you there?
Hear that?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Oh, good. Apologies. Okay. Sorry. We're generally happy with the recommendation. Like from day one, we had from a design point of view had heritage consultants and planning consultants from the beginning. So. Look, I'm not going to talk too much on the planning matters. We've got Gatton Associates to address any of those issues. So I'm really here to answer any design questions, but I'm happy to pass it on to Gatton Associates to move forward.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Corey. Can you turn your microphone on, please? Thank you.
Can you hear me, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Good afternoon, panel. We're before the panel today, really first and foremost, to answer any questions you may have and clarify any queries of the development. We first wish to outline that we generally support the findings of the delegated assessment report prepared by council and support the recommendation for approval. We have reviewed the conditions of consent and have no concerns with the conditions recommended to be imposed. We have heard from a number of objectors for the developments who points I will touch on some of the more serious ones raised later. I would just like to raise to the panel and paint the picture of the support retained from the public for this development. Over the 2 notification periods, the application from their unique properties retained over 10 submissions from those unique properties. And that was really equal to the amount of the unique properties that objected to the actual application. It is clear that the application is an example of a development that is well supported in the location, noting that a number of the submissions in support were from residents of Crescent Street. I would like to now speak about some of the objections made. We would just like to clarify the impact of shadowing onto the units of 14 to 16 Crescent Street. And while we do recognise that the property is zoned R1 general residential, the approved use, which I believe was a DA from 1994, approved the ground floors of all the units for light industrial studios with a residence above. While some of the objectors touched on that it was used as residential throughout, the majority of these units do not have approval for the residential use on the ground floor, except for unit 2, which has gone through that process and gotten the approval for that. The submitted shadow diagrams outlined in the impact of shadowing to the ground floor glazing of unit 2, it will impact the ground floor glazing of unit 2. However, the DCP only protects glazing to the main living room, which is actually located on the first floor. There are 3 windows servicing the main living room on the first floor, and throughout the midwinter period from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m, the proposal does retain solar access to a minimum of 2 out of 3 of these windows, achieving greater than the required 3 hours. In addition, the living areas of unit 3 and 4 also receive in excess of 3 hours of solar access at midwinter. I would also just like to touch on the visual privacy regarding the staircase window. If the panel is in the mind to put a condition on there for that to be glazed, I'm sure that the owner and applicant won't have an objection to that. But I would just like to state that there is a great distance from the actual landing and staircase to the actual window.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Thank you.
That was timed perfectly. If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them
Thank you, Mr. Corey. I'll just ask Mr. Phillips whether he wanted to say anything in addition to what's been said before I just ask whether there's any questions. Mr. Phillips, are you there? Not sure whether Mr. Phillips is with us. Well, if Mr. Phillips isn't with us, does any panel member have any questions of either the architect or planner for the applicant?
Thanks. I might have. Just in relation to the bay window, bedroom 2 on the southern side proposed dwelling, that's window WB7.
Sorry, I'm just struggling to hear the question. It was just very
robotic. Sorry, window WB7 in the bay window and the second bedroom on the southern side dwelling. What type of window will that be?
What type of window was the question?
Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
What type of window?
Okay. I think our architect is trying to answer the question, but he's just his microphone.
Yeah. Back on.
You got it?
Yeah. Those windows are double hung windows with the obscure glazing to the bottom half of the window to 1.6.
Well, when they're over, obscure glazing, the purpose of the obscure glazing disappears, correct?
I'm sorry?
When they're open, the purpose of the obscure glazing disappears, no longer has effect.
We would fix the bottom panel and only open the top panel. So double hung is the type of window, and we'll just open
it. Where is that notated?
On our elevation, we've just got obscured glazing to 1.6.
So you wouldn't object
to a condition to fix that bottom panel.
You wouldn't object to a condition to that effect?
No. Definitely not.
Good, thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Mr. Chair, I think I'm on now. It's James.
Hey, Mr. Phillips, how are you?
I just want to say that I'm here to answer any questions, and that the architects, Mr. Panetta and his firm, worked very hard with council to provide a building that worked very well within the context of Crescent Street in terms of its design and its fit within the urban context.
Thank you. We now have Mr. Phillips online, so does any panel member have a question, a heritage question of Mr. Phillips? No, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I don't think we have any other questions. I'm sorry, we do.
Just one question. Just in terms of the build, the wall height non-compliances, if someone can just explain in terms of responding to what's been said by the objectors.
Okay, I'm happy to attempt. I just don't have the proper calculations in front of me. From my understanding, it's a 3.6 metre wall height that is measured from the front boundary of the front portion of each proposed dwelling. While it's not notated on the plans, I don't think I believe we have done that exercise to demonstrate to council that it is compliant. At the end of the day, from measuring from the front veranda, that just needs to measure up to 3.6 metres. And I believe it's a plane of 45 metres that goes inwards towards the dwelling. Yeah. And that's the only area that it's actually measured from. Unfortunately, that wasn't notated on the plans, but I'm almost certain that we are compliant.
And this was the reason we went for a single-storey dwelling at the front.
Yes.
So to comply with that 3.6 from the front boundary.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Our decision in relation to this particular matter will be available on the council's website at the end of the week.
Mr. Chair, can I just add, my colleague is going to jump in my place to address the next item, so that's why Gadden Associates will still be here.
Thank you. Right, can I move on to the next item, which is item 9 in the agenda, DA 2023-0798, for the land at 20A and 20B, Opton Street, Petersham, construction of a mezzanine level with the rear outbuilding use of the outbuilding as a garage and studio in association with 20B Hopton Street, and carried a subdivision boundary at a realignment of 20A and 20B Hopton Street to contain the outbuilding completely on 20B Hopton Street. I have, on behalf of the applicant, Mr. Labutt registered to speak. Mr. Labutt, if you're there, I can see you there. You turn on your microphone and if you could provide us with your submission, please.
Sure. Good afternoon, panel. Thank you for the time to speak to today on this item. Yes, the application is recommended for refusal. In reading the report, I think there's really two key matters for why this has been refused. So I'll spend my time focusing on those. These are the FSR variation and the subdivision pattern or the cadastral pattern. For the FSR variation, numerically it's 34%, which is, on first glance, it's quite high. Not going to lie. The reality, though, is the amount of floor area that has been added is the mezzanine, and that's about 41 square meters. So not even 10% of the floor area has been added, which is being added. So because of the way that the FSR standard is structured in the LEP for the form Marrickville area, it's sliding scale based on site area. So by increasing the site area as a result of the boundary realignment, we technically have reduced the available FSR from 0.7 to 0.6, creates the higher numerical variation. All of this floor area that's being added is in the mezzanine, and it's entirely within an existing structure. There's no physical works to be done external to increase bulk and scale, cause additional overshadowing, visual privacy, acoustic privacy, those sorts of things. So there. Again, it's all within a structure. There's no impact on an adjoining property or on either property that is the subject of this application. For the subdivision pattern, what we're seeking is to incorporate the outbuilding on 20B, the southern of the two lots. This outbuilding will result in the lot shape being an L shape. There is a L-shaped property, three properties to the north, and part three of the DCP, which is the one addressing boundary realignment subdivision, does require as an objective to retain the prevailing cadastral pattern, cadastral character of the street. And I think that's where the main issue with this application lies. The two aspects are raised in this regard. One is the shape, one is the lot size. Quickly, I'll just say that the lot sizes that are proposed, being 270 and 378 square meters, are within what is in the 10 properties on either side of Hopeson Street in accordance with the controls in that section. 35% of the lots are below 270 square meters or within 10 square meters of that. And 40% of the lots are greater than 378 square meters or within 20 square meters of that. So these are pretty consistent with what's in the street. It doesn't have to be an exact average, which is what's stated in the assessment report. In terms of the lot shape, again, there is a L-shaped property, three properties to the north. If I know it's outside of the radius of what the DCP allows, but if you, the block to the southwest has three more, a block to the east has another one. There are L-shaped lots in the area. It's atypical to seek it in the modern era, I guess, but the age or the purpose for the lots is not part of what the control says to look for in what is your prevailing cadastral pattern. I'd like to acknowledge that Hopeton Street, the block, is quite irregular as it is. Part of that is a result of the corner in there, but there are only four lots that are the traditional rectangular lots. These are on the north to the northeast of the site. The rest are irregular, either just by frontage or kinks or dog legs in the shape. So this is not the first and only irregular lot that'll be on this block. There are many existing, just going to be the second L shape. At the end of the day, this is a practical resolution to a situation.
Chair, that's...
Thank you. Mr. Labert, if you could finish up shortly, please.
Yeah, just probably 20, 30 seconds. This is a practical solution to the unauthorized works application and incorporating an existing building on a lot that is seeking to utilize the entire building. As a result, it is an irregular shape. We're not trying to hide that or anything. I suppose what we're asking for is some flexibility for this solution to this scenario. I think this would be a different story if we were proposing the entire building as part of a brand new application, but it's an existing building just being used by the owners of 20B. Same owner as 20A for the record. And there are no negative consequences. There's no perception change. It's simply the line on the plan. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Labert. Does any panel member have any questions? Annalise, please.
I think we've been trying to understand just exactly what is approved on the site and what's been constructed and how that marries up with the plans. So looking at the approved plans, which we understood to be the latest version, it had the car lift at the sort of on 20B, whereas the plans now show it as being in 20A, but they don't show it as being new there. They show it as being as if it's existing there. So can you just clarify what your understanding is and what's actually happening?
Sorry. Okay, so what's approved as part of a mod that was approved through 34 agreement was a car lift, which was on 20B, a party wall, and then on 20A is the outbuilding. Their part of the outbuilding was just labeled as storage. The owner had, part of the unauthorized works, built the car lift in the back portion. So this is 20A, and it's just one car lift, not two. And then they're using the front portion, 20B, as a car space. The rest of it is largely being used for storage, for the record. A couple of things were not also constructed, were changed. Is the access door into 20A's private open space for their access to that outbuilding. A window on the the top portion of the garage facing 20B. And I think that's it. There were other parts of the... Sorry.
So this DA, does it rely on works that have been carried out without consent? So the mezzanine hasn't been approved on 20A, but it's been constructed. Is that correct?
Yes. The mezzanine was constructed. That's part of what is the order, notice of order on the land. So there wasn't a approved mezzanine on 20B before. It's the entire thing. One of the things that's happened is it's not actually giving the 2.4 meter clearance for a vehicle. So that's being, as part of this DA, it's being sought to demolish that and then rebuild it in a compliant manner. This doesn't, the ceiling heights comply on the mezzanine level regardless, but to meet the 2.4 on the lower section, it has to be knocked down, rebuilt.
Okay, so in terms of the plans that are before us, those plans do contain in them works which have already been constructed without consent. Is that correct or not?
Again, because of, well, the stair part of the stairs is not needing to be altered to get access to the mezzanine. So that part will definitely be an element that is part of the works that have already been completed. Again, the mezzanine just has to be removed and rebuilt in a compliant manner. So technically speaking, that's not a work that has been carried out that's being sought to retain in exactly. And the lack of the window and the door that I mentioned earlier are technically works that have been done that are contrary to the approval that are part of this. But there's also an ongoing BIC, which is going to be determined one way or the other, depending on this outcome, to address retention of those works.
It's just that we don't have the power to approve retrospective work. So normally an application like this would clearly delineate those works that get rationalised through the BIC. And then it's own, and then you seek approval for the use of those works. But anyway, that's something we can, yeah.
Yeah, we did seek use of the mezzanine space, but because of the issue of the head height clearance, we're seeking the floor area again, the mezzanine slab again.
Okay.
So I think we have addressed that in the statement.
You're actually demolishing the mezzanine that's there presently and reconstructing it at a different height. Is that the case?
Yes. Yes.
So the application is for demolition of what's there and reconstruction or construction of a different level.
Yeah.
Okay. And the car lift is not something for which consent is sought in terms of construction or installation because it's already there.
Yeah, the approvals for the use of the space of it for the purposes of a car lift, the car lift as it's been moved is part of the BIC.
Yeah, okay.
Can I just ask a question then? In relation to the works that have been completed but not previously approved, does that extend to these two attic rooms?
Sorry, two attic rooms, did you say?
Yeah, in the dwellings.
Yeah, there was also a notice. As part of the notice, there were also unauthorized works associated with the attics. The issue was that 20B was also using 20A's attic. That's been addressed separately through a BIC. We have the sign off from the compliance team that the works have been modified to suit what the approval was. So 20A and 20B are now separated by a firewall in the attic. There's separate access from each dwelling. 20A has access to its attic, which they didn't have as it was built. And 20B has its attic access as well. So that part's resolved and not part of this DA.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions from any panel member? No? Good. Thank you. Well, thank you, Mr. Lowe. We're going to move now on to the next or the last matter in the agenda for today, which is item 10, DA 2023-0651, the land at 323 Darling Street, Balmain, to proposal for alterations and additions to existing building to provide a mixed-use development comprising two retail tenancies and a restaurant with outdoor dining at the ground floor level and five residential apartments, all over two levels of parking. I have two people registered to speak as objectors. The first one is Fergus Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy, if you could just introduce yourself and tell us or give us your presentation, please.
Yeah, sure. Look, thank you very much and really appreciate the opportunity to speak to the panel today. I'm not as qualified as many of the panel members are or a lot of the people that you've spoken to today. My background is not in planning. I'm not an architect. So what we have done, and I'll be respectful of the panel's time, we did procure for a submission to be made by Mr. Nigel White, who is a Town Planning and Development Services Specialist. And we also submitted a separate letter about, from more of a personal perspective, about what it's like to be next door to this development. So really, I thought I might, rather than reiterate what's already been submitted, I thought I might just sort of provide a little bit more colour about what it's like to live next door. So I live in 2 Church Street. We are about 1.35 metres away from 323 Darling Street. And adjoining that is my daughter, who's 6, her room, as well as my son's room next door to the development. We have a number of concerns with what the development is proposing. When we purchased the property many, many years ago, we understood that there was a DA. We understood that it's a busy street. But we also noted that the hours of operation were between 9 and 7pm and limited to Monday and Sunday. The current DA that's been put forward completely changes that, extends it to past 11 o'clock at night and wants to be trading on Sunday. And currently it doesn't allow for that. It also has some restrictions on the level of music that can be played. When there have been previous tenants next door in that place, in particular the Latin Corner, which was there between August and December, there are a number of separate complaints, and council would have a number of records in relation to that tenant and the non-compliance around all of the activities that occurred there. Our major concern is that, firstly, the noise that will emanate if the proposal was to go ahead as it has, would be not insignificant. The parking that has been provided for within the application is nowhere near enough for what is already a very busy street. And if you add both residential premises and you also add a restaurant and you extend those operating hours, what is already very difficult to obtain residential parking would be almost impossible. The idea also that there could be a restaurant that's operating literally next door on my doorstep, when every other retail business actually faces into the street in Darling Street, doesn't make a lot of sense. Every other business is seen to run a very active trade and be commercially viable by opening up onto Darling Street. We have tried to be constructive in relation to this submission by both articulating what the concerns are from a planning perspective, but also providing some potential alternatives or solutions that could work. Again, I'm not an expert. I hope that those were observed in good faith. I realise that I've probably had my 3 minutes, but suffice to say, we are obviously, as a family, very, very concerned. We are not against development. We want it to be done the right way. The current building is very dilapidated, extraordinarily dilapidated. But I don't think the solution is what's currently being proposed in its current form.
Thank you, Mr. Kenny. Any questions? No? Good, thank you. The last speaker then is Mr. Stephen Kitching. Mr. Kitching, could you come online and provide us with your submission?
Am I online at the moment?
I can hear you. Thank you.
Yes. So, like Fergus, I live across the road from the development, and also like Fergus and other neighbours, of course, we've had community groups. I don't believe anybody is anti-good development. So those applications have been made by my colleagues and my neighbours. I'll move on from there. Today, I'm just interested to understand, and I don't require an answer at the moment, that'll be given to us, is the specific views on this DA application, knowing that I'm talking to yourselves as architectural experts and part of the planning panel appointed by council, as to your views on how this DA fits in and supports the development goals of the Balmain Village that I've read on council's website. I'm just unsure, not being an expert, how this development complies with the development and the controls set out in the LEP. I just want to reiterate that this building, in both its location, its bulk and scale, whatever is approved will have an impact and it will stand for decades. So like Fergus, as I mentioned, and my fellow neighbours, I don't believe that we're against development on this site. In fact, I think that we'd like to see this DA showcase some really great architecture and good design in what is a very sensitive conservation area and a very harmonious street. And I'll leave my comments at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kitching. There are no other speakers registered on the last item. So that concludes the public meeting for today. We're now going to close the meeting and the panel will deliberate in a closed session and make a decision on each application. As I indicated earlier, our decisions in relation to each agenda item will be published on the council website by the end of the week. And I thank all of those who attended today and made their submissions in a very courteous and efficient way. And I will bid you all good afternoon, and we will now move into the closed session. Thank you.